All right, good morning to you again. Glad to see you this morning and appreciate you being here for the adult Bible class. If you take your Bibles today, we'll go to the book of Job, Job chapter number 33 this morning to start with. And I'm going to do something a little different today, maybe a little different than normal. I don't know why I necessarily picked this topic for today. We want to always be led by the Lord, and I've been talking about doing a little study on this. A couple years ago, there's a preacher by the name of James Knox. Brother Osteen up in Georgia has him come in and preach once a year, and I've met him and heard him preach and talked to him some. And I read a study he did several years ago on dreams in the Bible, and I want to share some of that with you this morning, something I've done on my own there, kind of building upon what I read of his a few years ago. Job chapter 33 is where we'll start, verses 14 through 17. It's a study on dreams. People, everybody has them. Whether you think you do or not, you do. And we'll look at a few things, a few facts, and then, of course, from the Scripture. Aren't you glad you got a book from God that deals with everything that pertains to life? And even something like this. And I don't know, I don't think I picked it because of the Halloween day yesterday. I don't think I did because of that, but anyway, Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 17. Let's look at it this morning. The Bible says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man." Now, let me talk about those verses for a few seconds, a few moments this morning as we get into this study in the Scripture. God does speak to men. A lot of times, men are not interested in what God has to say. So here in Old Testament times, and what we often say chronologically could have been the first book that was written down as far as the canon of Scripture, of what God inspired and preserved for us to have, the book of Job. It's saying this is before the Word of God was in print, obviously. It's before the Old Testament was written down for men to have. Remember, we talked about, just a month or two or so ago, we talked about how Job had no Bible, right? Anybody remember that? And so he didn't have a Bible. So he's talking about how God would deal with a man. And in Old Testament times, we know he spoke in visions, even spoke audibly sometimes, even in appearances, right? A Christophany, theophany, however you want to say that. And here, God wants to speak to man, but man is prideful. Man has got his own purpose and is about his own dealings. And so one of the ways God would speak to a man in Old Testament times, maybe even an unsaved man, and we'll look at that in the study this morning, is he would speak to him in a dream. Why? Because verse 17 says that he may withdraw man from his purpose, that and hide pride from man. Man's so prideful, he's not always willing to receive the message God gives him. But when you're in a dream, and you're dealing with the subconscious at night, there's that time, that opening, that opportunity for God to speak to a man. It says here several things, and this is scientifically accurate, not that science has to back it up, because I take the Word of God as it is. And no matter what man's studies, whether that goes along and complements the Word of God or not, we know the Word of God stands, amen? The Holy Scripture, we understand that. But look at some of the things it says here. It says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." That's what I just spoke of. But look at verse 15, "in a dream." And maybe you could define a dream in the King James Bible as a vision of the night. And you'll see it in many places. God came to such and such in a dream of the night, or a dream at night. So it's something to do with a vision at night. "When deep sleep falleth upon men." You know, that's when they say you dream, and I'll talk about that in a moment. It's when deep sleep comes on a man. There's such a thing as sleep that's not as deep, and then there's deep sleep, okay? And it says, "slumberings upon the bed," okay? Let me talk to you a few moments about dreams this morning. My dad said this many times. You did hear about the man that dreamed that dreamed the whole night he was eating pancakes without syrup. I've heard my dad talk about that ever since I was a little fella, and I'm not all that little anymore, and talking about eating the whole night, just choking down pancakes because I didn't have any syrup, and that'd be tough. You know, pancakes are good, but syrup makes them really good, amen, and butter and other things. But he woke up, and half his cotton pillow was gone the next morning, choking down pancakes without syrup. So anyway, a definition of a dream would be this: a succession of images or ideas present in the mind during sleep, okay? And like I said, it'd be a vision of the night, something you see in your mind at night. A daydream would be different, okay? I'm not going to talk about daydreams. A visionary fancy, something that I often did when I was in school, amen? Sitting there at the desk, trying to have myself go somewhere else, you know, other than where I was at. A visionary fancy voluntarily indulged in while awake. That would be what we call a daydream, but we're not talking about those today. We're going to talk about dreams, and I have some facts I want to show you about dreams. Laboratory studies, according to information that's available to everybody, have shown that we experience our most vivid dreams during a type of sleep called REM sleep, rapid eye movement. That's that deep sleep that Job 33 was talking about. During REM sleep, the brain is very active. The eyes move back and forth rapidly under the eyelids, and the large muscles of the body are relaxed. This is that deep sleep. REM sleep occurs every 90 to 100 minutes, most of the time 3 to 4 times a night, and lasts longer as the night progresses. And the final REM period may last as long, rapid eye movement period may last as long as 45 minutes. Less vivid dreams occur at other times during the night. Here's some facts about dreams. Most dreams last anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. People don't only dream in black and white, as what was once believed. You dream just like you live. If you see in color, then you dream in color. Even though everybody may not remember their dreams, everybody dreams several times a night. In fact, during a typical lifetime, we spend about 6 years of our life dreaming. And you say, well, I don't remember them. Well, that doesn't mean you didn't have them. In fact, there was a study done, and I heard my dad mention this years and years ago, about this fellow named William DeMint. He was at Stanford University School of Medicine, did a study quite a few years ago now, in which he had all the monitoring equipment hooked up to some college students that they were doing a study about dreams on. And every time they entered the REM sleep, the deep sleep, they would go and they would wake up the students. And the findings were this: after some time period, after a week or two, the findings would included in the students the mild psychological disturbances such as anxiety, irritability, and difficulty concentrating. He also noted an increase in appetite. And some studies that have been done since then, we're talking about 40-something years ago now, some studies that have been done since then back up those findings. Some are a little bit different than that, so you always have different fellows with their different ideas. But it always made sense. If you're not dreaming, it's almost like there's a release during the night of the subconscious. And this is just how God made us, okay? And if that's not happening, then everything's not functioning the way it should function. So God knows us. He made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, the scripture says. So there's a purpose behind even dreams, okay? It's letting off, it's releasing things during the night in the subconscious, maybe that would trouble us otherwise if we didn't have that release valve or that outlet of a dream. And I think that's very interesting. Why do people have trouble remembering their dreams? Well, it seems that everybody dreams several dreams nightly. Whereas some may recall dreams, I've had this conversation with my son before. He'll say, I didn't dream last night. And I said, well, you dreamed, you just might not remember it. And some dreams, especially to a kid, are more memorable than others. Some things, like nightmares and different things that go in their mind and in their subconscious, has to work its way back out. And some of my kids talk about their dreams a lot, and some of them don't talk about them as much. And it might be that way with you, and it's different with different folks. But we all have these dreams. And something about the mode of sleep on the body, that when you're in that mode of sleep, it's hard to remember things, thoughts that occur to you during the night. If you wake up and you think about something because your mind's still busy, you can say, oh, that's, you know, you might come to some conclusion about something, then the next morning not remember what that was. And that's just how we are. There's something about difficulty remembering things when it comes to the subject of sleep. But sometimes something will remind you and trigger you of a dream you had during the day, or even days later, or even a week later, or however long later. Sometimes that's how that works. And the memory's not totally lost, it's just hard to retrieve sometimes. And remember our... You can maybe compare our minds to a hard drive on a computer. And we've talked about that before. But of course, certain medications can cause dreaming or make dreams different, cause nightmares even. And and there's lots of information on that also. Even animals dream. Did you know that? Most of you probably have had a dog before where you could see the dog having a nightmare or maybe laying on its back running while it's sleeping. And I've seen that before. Even some of the animals that sleep standing up, like say a horse, an elephant, something like that, they stand up during non-REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, but they lay down for the deep sleep. And that's kind of interesting how that works out. But here's several facts here in Scripture, and I want to look at several references here, talking about what the Bible says about dreams. I'll say it this way. We'll summarize it in this way for this morning. In the Bible, dreams come in three different forms. Three different forms, and I want to look at those three different forms for a few moments this morning. Number one, the first way that a dream would come, according to the Scripture, is God speaking to man. God speaking to man. Once again, I'll echo the sentiments the introduction I gave you earlier about how there was no Bible in Old Testament times. There was no Bible completed until after Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Then that first century and getting into the early church, and then you have the writings of Paul, and you have John the Revelator in exile on the Isle of Patmos. You understand all that, right? Most of you understand all that. So we understand how God put the Scripture together and used the priest to the believers. That would be the body of Christ. That would be all those that are saved down through the years. He used them when it came to what was Scripture and then the things that were not Scripture. We understand that, and I'm not giving you a lesson on that this morning too much. But in the past, God chose to speak to men in dreams. When a man's asleep, his pride, his purposes are laid aside. God can speak directly to a soul of a man or a heart of a man during a dream. He can give a man a message during a dream when he's not consciously fighting against this message or fighting against receiving something from God. A proud man will resist God when he's awake, so God will speak to a man in a dream, a vision of the night, when the man's heart is open. I'll give you several illustrations of that. You remember in the book of Genesis, chapter 20, there was a heathen king named Abimelech. Remember that? Remember God had called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abram's wife's name was Sarai. You know, the names later changed to Abraham and Sarah. And remember, Sarai was a hot-looking senior citizen. Remember that? So it says in the Bible, amen? I mean, she's 70, 80, 90, and there's men that think that she's beautiful. And so that means she's a hot-looking senior citizen. Amen. I don't know what you consider a senior citizen back in the book of Genesis, but whatever it was, she was that, I guess. But in Genesis 20, verses 3 through 6, Abimelech had an intended purpose. Abraham was Sarah's knight in shining armor, but he was more of a mighty mouse, I guess you could say, because he would rather live than get killed over his beautiful wife. It happened twice. Amen. I'm not making it up. It's in the Bible. And I'm sure Abraham, I remember Brother Gipp, Sam Gipp, who was preaching to us this last January at our Bible conference. He brought out an interesting perspective on this passage. He said, imagine that conversation Abraham and Sarah had the first time that Abimelech had took Sarah away from Abraham, and he was okay with that as long as he got to live. When they were reunited, when they were back in the tent, imagine that first conversation. How he had to eat humble pie and had to say, Sarah, I promise that'll never happen again. For two chapters anyway, because it happened again. Remember that? But anyway, we won't talk all about that. Poor Abraham. And isn't it a blessing our personal life's not recorded in the Scripture? Amen. Anyway, but Abraham's is. Genesis 20, verses 3 through 6, Abimelech had an intended purpose. He saw Sarah. He had his eye on a beautiful woman. He desired her, but the Scripture says God came to him in a dream by night. And God said unto him in a dream, that's another man's wife. And even though this, what we call an unsaved heathen king, he hearkened to God. Maybe he wouldn't have hearkened to God if some prophet or somebody would have brought him that message during the daytime when he's sitting on his throne. But at night, he hearkened to God. He went back to Abraham and said, why'd you do this to me? You set me up, man. Take your wife back. You said she was your sister. And he told that half-truth, you know, of course, about Sarah being his sister, his half-sister. And we see that with Abimelech. Jacob's another example of that. Genesis chapter 28. Jacob was a conniver, a wheeler and a dealer. Right? God would have, as far as speaking to Jacob during the daytime, Jacob would have wrestled with God, and he did wrestle with God. But he came to Jacob in a dream by night, Genesis 28. Remember that ladder, Jacob's ladder? Angels going, ascending and descending upon that ladder. He spoke to Jacob, told him about his intended purpose, about how when he's going to meet Esau and all that kind of stuff, and he was going to keep him safe through that and going to preserve his family and his seed. Laban, the used car salesman of the Bible, Jacob finally met his match when he met his daddy-in-law. And Laban there in Genesis chapter 31 was going after Jacob left and intended to do him harm, apparently according to Scripture. But God came to Laban in a dream by night and says, do him no harm. Don't speak to him good or evil. And gave Laban some instructions on that. What about Joseph? As you get a little further on in the book of Genesis and the narrative there, Genesis chapter 40, Joseph was spoken to in a dream. He even saw his brothers and his mother and father bowing down to him in a dream. Remember that? And it troubled everybody in his family when Joseph had to tell that dream. But then he was connected with several dreams. Remember, he got put in prison, sold into slavery, all that, got put in the dungeon there, and there was the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker in the prison with him. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but and they had a dream, and it was troubling them. And Joseph, you know, the interpretation of dreams belongs to God. That's why you got to watch out for science or, you know, education, or cults. Occults will try and interpret your dreams for you, but those belong to God. We know that from Joseph. We know that from Daniel, don't we? That those interpretations belong to God. But Joseph was connected with dreams in several different ways. Gideon in the book of Judges, God, he was a lowly man. He says he was the least in his father's house there, least in the tribe there, and yet God spoke to him, maybe, and he spoke to him in a dream and told him about his purpose. That's Judges chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. And then another interesting occurrence, and this isn't all of them, of course, but 1 Kings chapter 3. God speaking to King Solomon, the son of David, in a dream. And what's interesting there in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, I believe it is, Solomon actually carried on a conversation for 10 verses with the Lord. And so not only did he have a dream, a vision of God at night, but they actually conversed. And remember in that particular dream, if I remember right, that God actually told Solomon, you know, ask what you want. Ask what you'd have from me and I'll give it to you. And remember, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame. He asked for wisdom. And because of that, he got all of the above, right? And we understand that, and that's that passage there in 1 Kings chapter 3. So there are around 20 dreams recorded in Scripture. And I'm not talking about the times the angels came to a person at night, like you see with Mary and Joseph in the book of Matthew and other places. I'm not talking about that, even with the Apostle Paul and even with Peter and different ones. I'm talking about most of the time where the Bible says God spoke to a man in a dream at night. There's around 20 of those recorded in Scripture, 14 of them in the Old Testament, and 6 there in the New Testament. That'd be early on, once again, New Testament of Scripture, but not necessarily before the cross, okay, understanding that, and definitely not after the Word of God was complete. You've got to be careful with that, amen, because there's people on TV, there's people on the radio, and they'll tell you about these dreams they had from God, and they say whatever that revelation they received from God would trump whatever God says in His book. Well, that's not how God works, amen? That would be contradictory, and that would be inconsistent of God, and God, the God I know about, is not inconsistent or contradictory, and so He's never going to lead you opposite or contradicting what He's already given you in His Word. And that's just silliness, and lots of people will claim that. And I could give you examples, but we're on the radio and on the internet, and I know how easily people get offended, you know, when you start talking about sacred cows there. But I remember when I was a little boy, and my dad spoke of it last Sunday night, talking about how my mom on Sunday mornings is up early, and she lots of times turns the TV on and we'd hear a television preacher or whatever, or ministry. I remember watching Day of Discovery. I remember watching Bob Jones III bore me to death. And that's just me personally. I'm not saying that he's a boring guy. I was just boring to me as a kid, I'll promise you that. Oral Roberts, I remember seeing him on TV. And I remember him saying one time that, I don't remember if it was a dream or not, I think it was some type of vision where if he didn't raise $1 million, God was going to kill him. You remember that? All right? I hope you remember that, all right? And I remember another preacher not long after that said, you know, I had a dream also. God said, I either have to get $1 million or God's going to kill Oral Roberts. But anyway, you got to watch people, okay? You got to the flesh gets in the way, that's for sure. And people want to blame things on God that God had nothing to do with. And just understand, you're safe with the Holy Scripture, okay? Whenever a talking head starts talking about their experience with God, you need to go back to Scripture and weigh and balance the thing out. You understand that? So the first way, the first form a dream comes in, and boy, the time has kind of fleeted on me here, and I'll go to the next two here hopefully fast, but the first form that a dream takes in Scripture is God speaking to man. The second one is through a multitude of business. I'll give you a verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 3. The Bible says, a dream cometh through a multitude or the multitude of business. That's simple, isn't it? Whatever's on your mind during the day, whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're stressing about or fretting about, you're going to take it to the bed with you at night, and your subconscious mind is going to outlet and deal with that. A dream cometh through a multitude of business. Probably not a person in this room hasn't experienced a dream because of the multitude of business, what you're involved in day to day. The Bible says that we will dream about the very things that occupy our thoughts and our time while we are awake. Our mind can be so occupied with the cares of this life that it cannot rest or even be freed from this strain, the daily strain, even when we're asleep. And we understand that. I've had these dreams before. I remember hearing my dad talk about how, I believe it's when he was a young man working, driving race cars and working fruit at the same time. And they worked these long days, and how he'd get in bed late at night, and he'd be dreaming that he was just finishing up a work day. You know, a long work day, just fixing to get to go home, jump in his car and go home. And then the alarm clock would go off, and it was time to start a work day. You know, we've all done that. I've done that before, where I'm dreaming that I'm winding down, finishing something just to wake up and find out, no, I'm just getting going on it good. And that's kind of a demoralizing thing from time to time. And we've all experienced that. The good news is Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, if you can give all those daily cares to God, then you can lay down and have good sleep at night. I've said it before, if you're having trouble sleeping, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd, right? And that's what the Scripture would give us as an alternative to having all these cares and this multitude of business, even making us dream about it in our subconscious. Philippians 4:8, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It makes sense, since a multitude of business will affect our subconscious and even affect what we dream about. If we're thinking about the right things, about spiritual things, about the things of the Lord, then our subconscious will dwell upon that even when we're asleep at night. And that would be a whole lot better to deal with those things and occupy our minds with those things than these cares of this life that we deal with. Set our affections on things above and not on things on this earth. We understand what the Scripture says. And that's, by the way, that's a good antidote. That's a good cure for the problems we have with our mind not resting and not being able to unwind and have peace, perfect peace, at night when we lay our heads down to rest. God will give us that. The third way that a dream takes form, according to the Scripture, not only God speaking to man before the completion of the revelation of God, the revelation, the whole entire revelation of God, the Scripture, another form is through a multitude of business. The third way would be unfulfilled desires of the flesh. Unfulfilled desires of the flesh. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Isaiah 28, if you would. Isaiah 29, verse 8. Let me get it right. I want to have you look at one passage here that's interesting. I believe goes with this point. A dream can take a form of an unfulfilled desire of the natural body, of the flesh. Isaiah 29, verse 8. I want everybody to get there that's wanting to go there. Isaiah 29 and verse number 8. I'll start reading here in just a moment. The Bible says, it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. Doesn't have any water, doesn't have anything to drink. And his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. It's saying you have this desire, and this desire is so strong in your natural body that when you lay down to sleep, you're actually dreaming that you're fulfilling that desire that you have. Now, we're talking about not necessarily impure things here. We're talking about eating and drinking. Someone goes to bed hungry can dream about eating. Someone that goes to bed thirsty and doesn't have any way of quenching their thirst or having anything to drink back in these times, they could dream about drinking something and being satisfied and fulfilled, only to wake up and find out that they're not satisfied and that desire has not been met and fulfilled. Well, the Bible's saying that you can dream about these unfulfilled desires of the flesh. The problem is that can take on an impure connotation, can it? If your mind is dwelling on some of the lusts and some of the desires of the flesh that you have during the daytime, there's a good chance you will experience some of those things at night. The mind will actually try and fulfill those things while the body's asleep, trying to bring satisfaction to this. Some of these certain longings that the natural body has that are unfulfilled, the mind, the subconscious mind, will try to fulfill them while the body sleeps. And that could take on impurity and impure dreams. One preacher told me about, he had this young man kept complaining to him about the impure dreams he was having. He says, well, you must be having these dreams while you're awake also. If you're probably daydreaming about them, and that's why you're night dreaming about them also. And said, you need to think on these things according to the Word of God, the things of the Lord, and then you won't see that you'll have that outlet at night in your dreams. And that's truth right there, amen? That's what the Scripture says. Nightmares. You know, nightmares, some dreams can be kind of troubling, I guess you could say. Go back one more passage here, maybe at least one more passage before we conclude this morning. Job chapter number 7, we were just there, so go back there, right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter number 7, verses 13 through 16, I want to look at this real quick. This is where we started in the book of Job, so it has much to say. The book of Job's that book alone is the best, probably one of the best, probably the best science book there is in existence today for mankind. Unbelievable scientific facts way before man ever caught on. Verse 13 of Job chapter 7. When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams. There's a nightmare for you. And terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. Verse 16 says, I loathe it, I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. He's talking about nightmares here in verse 14. Thou scarest me with dreams, terrifiest me through visions. There can be some troubling things that we've experienced in life, and once again, our subconscious mind will outlet that during the hours that we're asleep. And we can see that. I'll give you an example. Gospel of Matthew 27, verse 19. You remember Pontius Pilate's wife. You remember as Pilate was sitting in judgment seat on the Lord Jesus Christ and had a decision whether he'd put him to death and please the Jews or set him free because he found no fault in him. And he's sitting there in judgment of Jesus Christ, and his wife sends him a message and says here, when he was set down on the judgment seat, talking about Pilate, his wife sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Isn't that interesting? She'd had a nightmare, or maybe she was asleep during the day and had a dream, but she said, I'd suffered many things. And don't do anything, don't have anything to do with condemning that just man. It had been good if Pilate, humanly speaking, for his own sake, it had been good at that moment if he'd listened to his wife. Right? And in fact, history tells us that Pontius Pilate, his future wasn't good, that he ended up basically going crazy over the whole situation. He knew he put a just man to death. And I tell you, I don't care who the man is, it's always going to eat on him in the inside. It's always going to be a problem in their conscience. And that would, nightmares, and I guess you could say dreams that are scary or maybe even violent, has something to do with something either we're going through, been through, or some unfulfilled desire of the flesh also. And it's just interesting that no matter what the subject is, you can go to the Scripture and you can find knowledge about it, right? That you can find wisdom about it. I'm sure we could do a much more in-depth study on this, but we'll just leave it at this. In the Bible, that dreams come in three forms. God speaking to man, and by the way, that time is past. I'm not saying God can't speak to a man in a dream. All right, I'm not saying that, but remember, the Scripture is still the absolute and final and sole authority, okay? And so a dream never trumps the Scripture. never trumps the revealed word of God that God has given us in the Holy Scripture. And so God can speak to a man and did in time past, and we understand why he spoke to man in time past that way. And remember, another way a dream takes form is through a multitude of business. That's why our business needs to be about the Lord's business. I must be about my Father's business, is what Christ said, right? And then the third way is by unfulfilled desires of the flesh. We are not supposed to walk after the flesh, but we're supposed to walk after the Spirit. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have pure dreams, an outlet of pure things in our subconscious? It's tough while we're at home. In the body, we're going to struggle with those things, but I like Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, I believe it says, but one day that when he shall appear, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. Amen. So sweet dreams in all eternity. Amen. I promise you that. And that'll be because we're just like the Lord Jesus Christ and with him forever in heaven.